We are continuing on our I Am series through the Gospel of John, where Jesus makes these I Am statements. And we're thankful that Jesus tells us who he is, and he gives us truth about who he is. So as we come to our passage today, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you for who you are and for what you've done for us. And Lord, we pray that our eyes and our hearts would be open to your word today. And we pray this in your mighty name. Amen. So what you're going to see today in this passage is that Jesus got into arguments, conflict. And I think sometimes people think, well, can you be a Christian and have conflict and have arguments in your life? Yes, Jesus got into conflict. He might not have gotten into the conflict that you and I get into over little and petty things, but he did argue with people and confront people. And he had particular difficulty with the group of religious leaders in his day that was leading people away from the true God, even though they didn't realize they were doing that. And we're going to read this passage today, but as we do, I just want you to think about the fact that you can stand up for truth and you can disagree with other people about faith. And that isn't real popular in our culture, because in our culture, you're supposed to say, well, whatever works for you is fine. Don't worry about it. This is what I believe. Whatever works for you is okay. I think you have to put a disclaimer at the end of everything you say. At least that's what the political correct police tell us. But I believe there's a place to say, I disagree with you. I love you. I respect you. I will do anything for you. But you're wrong. And I know that that doesn't always come across right, come across well to people, but until we can do that, no one's ever going to discover truth until we can sharpen each other like that. And it's not about being argumentative. And as a matter of fact, there's a passage in Scripture in Titus chapter 3 where it talks about a divisive person, a person who's always in the middle of arguments and disputes and always separating people. It says in Titus 3:10, warn a divisive man once, warn him a second time, and then have nothing to do with him. That's how serious it is to be a divisive, argumentative person. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about standing up for truth. You can actually speak the truth. It's okay to do that. You can actually say to a person, I disagree with that. And you can also do it in a loving way, in a respectful way too. Jesus has greater authority than we do, and he speaks much more strongly, I think, than any of us speak, because he, in fact, is God. He gets to do that. So we're going to look at John chapter 8, and Jesus has told the people that he is the light of the world, and people are disputing who he is. And he says to them, and actually in verse 47 of chapter 8, he says to the religious leaders, the Jewish people there, the reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And then in verse 48, it says, the Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? The Jews did not like the Samaritans. I'm just going to stop there for a second. And this is a racial slur. This is what it is. That's what they're saying to Jesus. And they're also saying to him, you're demon-possessed. You're not speaking from God, you're speaking from the devil. So it goes on in verse 49. It says, I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. At this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. he saw it and was glad. I'm just going to stop there for 1 second. Here's a big point there. These people that he's talking to are religious people. They go to synagogue weekly. They tithe. They give a tenth of what they have. They go through religious rites and rituals. But here's Jesus' statement against them. You don't really know God. There is no personal relationship. And that's the key. You can do all the good works in the world. You can go to church as much as you want. But it's all about having a personal relationship with God. It's about knowing him personally. Paul says, I consider everything else a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Knowing him, having that relationship. So Jesus says you don't know him, and he says your father Abraham, who lived thousands of years before, rejoiced at seeing my day. That's what Jesus says in verse 56. And then in verse 57, they say to him, you are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. So Jesus makes this statement. Before Abraham was born, I am. Now, I want to show you something here. I want to show you a timeline of what we're talking about. So Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. He is the dividing line between B.C. and A.D. So when Jesus' life starts, that's when our A.D. time period starts. Abraham lived about 2,200 years before Jesus. So Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. And we're going to talk about Moses. He also appeared to Moses, and he could say 1,500 years back, he could say before Moses was born, I am. Before any of these people was born, I am. And he can say to us today, I am, because he has always existed. See, our understanding about who Jesus is very important, because there's a lot of different views on who Jesus is. People will say he was a great teacher. He was a great moral example. He was a great leader. He was all those things. And we believe he was all those things. But when I hear somebody say Jesus was a great moral teacher and they stop there, I want to ask them this question. Well, do you know what he taught? Do you know that he taught that he was God? That he always existed and always will exist? That is a big statement that Jesus made. So if someone's going to say Jesus is a great moral teacher, Jesus said more things than love one another. He said more things than do unto others as you want them to do unto you. He told people who he was. And this is very important to understand who he is. Because as Christians, we are Christ followers. For us to understand who Jesus is absolutely essential. It's not just imitating Jesus. It's not just picking and choosing a few of his teachings about loving people. It's about knowing him and understanding who he is. He has always existed and always will exist. And at any point in human history, he can say, I am. Now, we have people of different ages here. And for some of you, you go back to 1960 and you couldn't say, I am, because you weren't here. Some of you have to go back farther to 1940 or 1920. I think that covers us, 1920. Okay? And none of you here could say, I am, in 1920. Some of us will not be able to say, I am, in 20 years. We will not be on this earth anyway, or 40 or 50 years. God can always say, I am, and he doesn't change. Because for us, we change. When I was 2, I'm a different person than I am now, hopefully, right? Or different from when I was 22 or 32. We change. But the Bible says, God says, I am God, I change not. Nothing changes. So when Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am, the Jews get upset with him, and they want to throw rocks at him. They want him dead, because he is claiming to be God at that point. He's claiming to be eternal. But he's also claiming something else. And I need to go back to Exodus chapter 3 to show you this. We're going to do a little Old Testament Bible study, and I'm also going to give you a Hebrew lesson today. Don't be scared. I'm just going to teach you one word today in Hebrew. I know some of you are thinking, I'm not good at languages. I got a C- in Spanish in high school. It's okay. It's just one word. We're going to take you through the Old Testament, and then I'm going to bring you back to today and what that has to do with us today. So going back to the time of Moses. This is the burning bush story. God appears to Moses in a burning bush. And it says, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I say to them? So Moses wants to know, what am I going to tell these people? Who are you? What is your name? And God gives an answer. God's answer in the next verse is this. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. I am is God's name. So, when Jesus says before Abraham was born, I am, that's why they get so upset. You're the God who led the people out of Israel? You're that God? That's what Jesus is telling them. And this is where the Hebrew lesson comes in. I want to show you a Hebrew word. Now, when I was in seminary, as a seminary student, I had to take Greek and Hebrew. Hebrew is what the Old Testament was originally written in. Greek is what the New Testament was originally written in. And we, as pastors, had to learn those languages. And I can remember, I went through Greek the first year. I did pretty well in that. And then I got to Hebrew. And the Greek alphabet, you see, it looks a lot like the English alphabet. It's fairly close. Our alphabet actually comes from their alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet looks like gobbledygook. It looks like nothing you've ever seen before. It doesn't make sense. You can't even figure out what that may sound like, right? Any Hebrew scholars here? Probably not. Okay. So here we have this word. And I want to give you what this means. And I just want to tell you before I do that, I can remember as I started to learn and study Hebrew, and I started to learn how to pronounce the words and understand what they meant, and I'm by no means an expert. I have a basic understanding. I remember one day just reading this, and I started to get tears in my eyes because I realized something. This is the language that God spoke to his people in way back when. And it just hit me. Wow. Just a powerful moment. So I want to give you these letters. So Hebrew is written right to left. Okay? So it's the equivalent of YHWH. Okay, so I'm going to flip that around because you guys are all English speakers and readers. So, YHWH. And they don't have vowels, so you got to fill in between what this might mean. But the Hebrew pronunciation of this word is Yahweh. And sometimes the W can sound like a V, so some people say Yahweh. But Yahweh is the accepted translation, the accepted what this word means. So when God speaks to Moses, he says, this is my name. I am who I am. And the idea is he always exists. None of us can always say I am. God can always say I am. No matter what point you are in human history, he can always say I am. Now what happened over the centuries when some British and American guys got a hold of the Hebrew, they changed it to Jehovah. I believe Yahweh is a better translation, but sometimes when you go from one language to the other, some pronunciations change. I don't think it's bad to pronounce it Jehovah, as long as we understand what it goes back to. But the way a Hebrew speaker today would pronounce it is Yahweh. And now I want to show you something else. I know I'm getting into a lot here, but this is going to come back and speak to us today, how this affects us today. If you look in your Bible, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles in front of you to Psalm 23. You can open up to any psalm, actually, to make this point, but Psalm 23 is a well-known one. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalms are right in the middle of the Bible. Psalm chapter 23. Do you notice anything about that word Lord, the letters in that word Lord? They are all capitalized. Whenever the Hebrew word Yahweh appears, it was decided by Jewish translators and later Christian translators of the Bible to render that Lord with all capitals. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In Hebrew, you got the word Adonai. Mark mentioned this last week when we sang Praise Adonai. It means Lord. Here is why that doesn't say Yahweh in your Bible. The reason is along the way, the Jewish people in reading the commandments, read thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And they were afraid to take God's name in vain. So because of that, they decided to replace Adonai, or Lord, with Yahweh, because they were afraid to say his name. Christian scholars followed suit and did the same thing. So whenever you see Lord with all capitals, it's the word Yahweh. If you see a capital L with small O-R-D, that's translating the Hebrew word Adonai. But when you see all capitals, it's God's name. And that's what translators have done. And I want to tell you, and this is going to sound kind of arrogant when I say this, I think all the Jewish and Christian translators are wrong. I don't think they should have done that. Here is why. God told us his name. When someone tells you their name, they expect you to remember it, and they want you to call them that name. You know, when someone tells you their name and you forget it, you feel bad, right? And you say things like, hey, buddy, how you doing, pal? Good to see you, champ. You know, you say stuff like that just because you can't remember their name, and you feel really bad, right? But God told us his name. Moses asked him, who should I tell the people your name is? And God said, here it is. It's I am. It's which is Yahweh, the one who is, the one who always is. And sometimes when I'm reading through the Old Testament and I come across that capital L-O-R-D, the theologians call it the tetragrammaton, if you want to make it really confusing. Don't ever say that again. When I come across that word, I just sometimes say Yahweh. I think it's okay to do that because God told us who he is. And the point is not to never, it's not that we should never say his name, it's just we shouldn't take it in vain. And what does it mean to take it in vain? It means to take God's name for nothing. It means to say God's name or Jesus in a way that doesn't honor him. And if you are out in the world, if you hang out with people a lot, you hear this every single day. You hear God's name taken in vain. Every day, I'm sure. Almost every day, if you're out in the world. And I think we can say God's name. I think that's okay, because he told us to do. But say it with reverence and love and respect and a healthy fear of God and just gratitude for all that he's done for you. Because he's told us who he is. He is the great I am. He is the one who always has existed. He's the one who always will exist. And here's another thing, great thing about this name, is you see God's name all throughout the Old Testament in other people's names. Whenever you see a name with Yah in it, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Yahweh is part of that. It's part of that. And there's another, Hallelujah is another one. Praise Yahweh. That's what that means. It's short for Yahweh, the one who is. But there's another name that starts with Yah in Hebrew, and it is the name that is above every name. Jesus, again, we English speakers take words from Hebrew and we kind of change them around a little bit, and that happens when you translate. But his name, his mother, Mary, most likely called him Yahshua. And that means Yahweh saves. So that is our understanding. So when Jesus comes to us and says, I am, he's just reiterating a part of his name. He is Yahweh who saves. He is the great I am who saves us. And it's a powerful thing. And, you know, when you hear Jesus' name taken in vain, I don't even think people realize what they're doing and how precious that name is and what it means. The God who saves us. That's what it means. The great I am. But I want you to think about this concept for a minute. And here's where the Hebrew Old Testament lesson is now pretty much done. So we're coming back to the year 2015, and here's what I want to bring to you today. I believe God puts in us a desire to have constant things in our life. When life gets crazy, you look to the things that are constant. You look to things that you've had and experienced in the past. You may look to a person. There are people you've had in your life for many years, your spouse, or your parents, or your grandparents, and we like to have those constants in our life. I think it helps keep our balance. You know, and as I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, you know how, have you ever seen the figure skaters on TV and they do the spins? I try not to watch figure skating as much as possible, but when they do the spins and they go like 100 miles an hour around and around and around, you know how they keep their balance? Because I've often wondered that, because for me, if I go like on the teacups at a carnival, I'm done. I'm done for the day. I'm going to be sick. It's terrible, right? The spinning thing doesn't work for me. They keep their balance by focusing on a point. So I might focus on that exit sign and spin, and every time I come around, I'm going to focus just so my body knows where I am in relation to everything else. I've never done that. I've never been able to skate like that, but that's what they do. That's how they keep their balance. As human beings, we keep our balance by having constants in our life. And sometimes we focus on those things in our life that are constant, but sometimes that makes us a little rigid when things change. We don't like change because that throws us out of balance, right? And we love to come back to those things that are constant in our life. Maybe it's a person. One of the things that I've enjoyed in my life that's a constant is a place. We have a camp up in Maine that I've been going to my whole life, and we have home videos of me picking blueberries as a toddler out in front of the cottage. And now my kids do the same thing. And that place to me brings back good memories. It's a constant in my life. There are people who've been constants in my life and in your life. There are things that are constants. That's why sometimes in church when we want to change things, people get upset because there are certain things that they've expected that are constants. But here's the thing we got to make sure of. All these things around us, if we make these things constants and things that we just set our foundation on, we're going to be in trouble because things in this world go away. But there is one constant that never goes away, and that is Jesus, the great I Am, who saves us. If he's your focus, then everything around you can be spinning, and you can still be okay because he is your constant. He grounds you. He keeps you in place. It's when we start to focus on other things as our constant that we get into trouble. Jesus is our constant. Another thing I want to bring out with the passage that we're reading today is this. God told the people of Israel, I am who I am, right before he saved them and delivered them. Jesus does the same thing. In this name, I am, is the character of God that he saves his people. He delivers us. And it says in this passage, if we read back into John 1, he says, anyone who keeps my word will never see death. Isn't that a great promise? And the Jews don't get it. They're like, well, Abraham believed, but he died. But Jesus isn't talking about physical death. He's talking about eternal life. If you believe, you'll have eternal life. If you believe in the great I Am, it's not about being religious. It's not about going through a bunch of rituals. It's not about doing good in the world, although you should do good in the world, but it's about believing in Jesus. Then you will have life. Then you will be saved. And you know, there's a lot of distractions in this world. There's a lot of things getting our eyes off of Jesus. You know, I think about this political race right now. There are like 28 Republican candidates right now, and they all got commercials on. And there's a few Democratic candidates. And what hit me the other day is we have more than a year of this to go. It's not until next November of 2016 that we're going to be watching these things. There's just a lot of distracting things back and forth. There's a lot of things different going on in churches. Focus on this, focus on that. And there are prophecies. Actually, there's a prophecy about the eclipse tonight, that something catastrophic is going to happen. It may happen. It may not, but whether it does or not, here's my encouragement to you. Just focus on Jesus. Focus on Christ. Don't focus on the moon, although you can look at it. I'll probably watch it. But focus on Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, he'll deliver you. That's who we focus on. That's who we love. He is the center. He is what grounds us. He's the I Am. And there's one more point about the fact that Jesus calls himself I Am. It's that means he's personal. If you can say I, that means you're a person. And by person, I don't necessarily mean exactly like a human being, but you have your own personhood. And, you know, there's other beliefs out there. There's like New Age beliefs that everything is God. The tree is God. The animals are God. The sky is God. And you know what? As much as we appreciate what God has made, The tree is not God. I'm not God. Shirley MacLaine, very famously, I think in the 80s, said, I am God. No, Shirley, you're not. But he created you, and he loves you, right? That's what you say. But God is separate and distinct. He can say, I am. And if somebody can say, I am, that means this. You can know him. You can have a relationship with him. God is personal. He's not just an energy force. We don't say, just may the force be with you, right? He's not just an entity that's out there. And he's personal, so personal that he told us his name. He's called by many titles, God and King and Master and Lord, and all those titles are great and they're wonderful, but God has told us his name, Yahweh. And Jesus' name means Yahweh saves. He's told us that. We can call him by name, and he knows us by name. So that's really the final point of all this today, is that you can know God. It's more than just being religious. Don't be just religious. Put your faith in Christ, and you have a personal relationship with him. You can know him. I was talking with a person a few weeks ago who was, he's not a believer of any kind. I would say agnostic or atheist would describe this person. And I was talking to him about Jesus. And this person said, well, you know, I could tell you there's an invisible rocket ship going around the earth. And you can't see it, so you can't believe it. And he said, I could tell you about anything. But what I told him is, I just know he's alive because I know him. I know Jesus. It's not just some religious system. We have a personal God who knows us, who loves us. And whatever you are in life, whatever you've gone through or are going through, he is right there and he can say, I am. Whatever little crisis I had when I was 8 or 10 or 12 years old, God was right there with me saying, I am. I am here. 20, 30, 40 years old, he says, I am. No matter what you're going through, he is there because he is real. He is a person. He's the great I am. And that's our big point today. Jesus is the great I am. He is the God who saves us. Put your faith and your trust in him, and you will never see death. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can all know you personally and be in relationship with you. That the creator of the universe would come to us, would be like us, and would tell us, you would tell us who you are. We're thankful for that, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would draw us closer to yourself. If there's anyone here who doesn't know you, I pray that today and right now they would say, Lord Jesus, I believe, and they would come to know you and have this relationship with you. I pray this all in your mighty name. Amen.